You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, get the most trusted Browns news straight from the team to your phone, including insider videos, photos, player news, and more, such as this show. If you missed Joel Corey's excellent interview about franchise tags, check that out at your leisure by downloading the official Browns mobile app for Apple and Android now. Stay up to date on your team. Plus, it barks at you. I mean, it's like having a dog without even having to get one. You don't have to take it out. None of the hassles.
Yeah.
Plus, you can hear Jason Gibbs with about five of the quotes of the week. In the first
in
hour
one,
of today's
one
program.
One segment.
Possibly of the year.
They're certainly nominated. And speaking of nominations and awards, it's time now for the Browns Daily ESPY Awards. The crowd goes wild.
So many celebs on the red carpet out here in Berea.
The orange carpet, please. Are you colorblind?
Sometimes. Sometimes I can be.
Sometimes?
Gribble is legit.
We like to refer to it as color vision impaired.
Yeah.
You're legit colorblind?
Oh, Gribble's legit. He doesn't know what the color green looks like.
So my friend Doug Bloom is legit colorblind as well. And one of the first years we played in this superstar softball event together, we played on basically a giant field, and they spray painted on the green, orange bases.
Didn't know.
Couldn't see him. He had no idea where that base was.
People with this colorblindness, we all have stories like that. In college, I was shamed by my German teacher in front of an entire class.
For?
Because she was asking me, like, you know, it's elementary German, and we're looking at the chalkboard, and she's, like, telling us to point at colors and tell her what those were in German. And I messed them up, you know, and she's like, how do you not know your colors in German? We've been going over this for a week. I was like, I'm colorblind. And she's like, oh, and like the whole class, she's like, Andy ist Farbenblind, like, and just like,
and that's the real that you just gave us. German,
you know,
for Farbenblind.
Everyone just kind of looked at me and like, it's a weird guy in the back.
Was she Frau something?
Yeah, she was authentic, real, really German. I mean, it was hard even kind of communicating with her in English that I was not seeing the colors right. So,
man.
You know, we all have those moments.
We do. Fortunately, I see color.
Yeah, I don't.
Good for you guys. Yeah, that's great.
Thank you. Is there any color that you do see?
Yeah, I mean, it's just I'm red green colorblind. So it is red green, but it kind of throws off your whole spectrum.
Oh, so
I don't see in black and white.
Christmas is a show for you. You have no idea what's going on.
Christmas.
Oh, you are like, what is this?
You might have to consider a conversion, Judaism, and just go all blue and white.
I'm good. Like I figured it out. I basically, even if I'm not seeing the red that you see. I know that it's...
You know red. You're seeing red.
Yeah, I know I'm seeing red.
Okay. All right. So that works. You have your own red. Mazel tov. All right. We said it's time for the Cleveland Browns Daily's ESPYs, so we will get into that. We're going to start with the best Browns player from the past season, and we'll go in this order. KJ Gribbs, Gibbs, me, and then we'll read some of the tweets that accompany it. Best Browns player from the past season.
Was Tashaun Gibson. I know he only played in 11 games, but this guy still finished tied for third in the league with 6 interceptions. He was in the right place at every time. The athleticism he showed on film, he, to me, was leaps and bounds the best player on the defense.
So I'm going with Joe Thomas because I know that it seems like an obvious answer, but I think this goes into the discussion. We had the face of the franchise discussion earlier this week, and we all said it's Joe Hayden, but I still think Joe Thomas, the way he's performed, you look at how Pro Football Focus breaks down his game. He's still one of the NFL's top left tackles, if not the top left tackle. An invaluable guy that kind of maybe gets forgotten, but I think he was the top overall player.
I would say Alex Mack, because look what happened when you lost Alex Mack.
Classic Gibbs today. This
Plain
is amazing.
Plain and simple. It's Alex
Gotta
Mack.
Show me. All right, so we can all have 4 different ones, which I guess bodes well for the Browns. I'm going to say Joe Hayden. I think the way that he goes around week after week against the top receivers in the NFL, the way he shut down Julio Jones in the midst of the biggest hot streak in the entire National Football League, I thought that was something. The way that he absolutely manhandled and shut down A.J. Green, he does it week after week. He follows the best player on the other team. So I'm going to say Joe Hayden. I considered Joel Bitonio, not going to lie. Thought he had a very impressive rookie season. I considered him. Right now, best player, we got Brandon Leister says Joe Thomas would be the best player on this team last season. We've gotten some more votes for Joe Hayden from G.I. George behind enemy lines. He says he was the best player on this team last season. Mostly it's Joe Hayden and Joe Thomas. You're the only one with Tashaun Gibson. He gets some nominations in some other categories, though, for him. But those are the players that people are looking at right now for this team. Joe Thomas, Joe Hayden. I think Joe Hayden and Browns Updated goes Joe Hayden. He wins a close vote here for our best player of the year. AJG also giving it to Joe Hayden. So Joe Hayden wins the Browns Daily ESPY for best Browns player of the year. Up next here in the Browns ESPYs, in our second category, the best breakthrough performance from last season.
Isaiah Crowell. He was an undrafted guy. You talk about week three in the preseason, looking like he's going to get cut. I talked to running backs coach Wilbert Montgomery. The way that this guy progressed through the season, picking up things on where the vision and the holes were, it was a breakthrough for this team to have Crowell play the way that he did.
Gribbs.
I'm following your lead, Nathan. I'm going with Joel Bitonio. I know he's a second-round pick that comes with a lot of acclaim, but he also plays offensive guard, so not many people talk about what he's doing, but he performed at an incredibly high level, should have been in the Pro Bowl, and now is kind of a foundation piece for this franchise for many years to come.
I'm going to say Tashaun Gibson. Gibson had some good seasons. I thought the season before he was solid, but had no idea that he would have the kind of year that he had last year. Just ball hawking all over the field. Just an outstanding season, and one that at the beginning of the year I don't think I would have expected.
Well, certainly we weren't, you know, considering him on that level. I think that's a good one. We're going to keep it different again, two categories in a row. I'm going to go with Taylor Gabriel as the breakthrough performance of the year. Averaged over 17 yards a catch, third most in the NFL. An undrafted guy out of Abilene Christian, small, played his way onto this team, went into Ray Farmer's office, said, don't give up on me, give me a chance, made good on that, and is the best receiver so far this offseason. I thought in terms of a guy that you didn't think was going to make any plays for this team to come out and make the plays that he did last year. He was one of the league leaders in yards after the catch per reception, one of the league leaders in yards per catch, period. I thought that he had a phenomenal rookie season and a total breakthrough performance. The other one that I wanted to throw out there is Kaywan Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Absolute breakthrough performance from him, undrafted, great slot guy, missed a lot of time with injury, but still was very, very productive. So, going through our Twitter, we've got Joel Bitonio from Brandon Leister. We had a couple Kaywan Williams. We had a couple Taylor Gabriels. We had a bunch of Tashaun Gibson and Joel Bitonios. So I'm going to say the winner of the Browns Daily ESPY is, we go Tashaun Gibson. He's now regarded as a Pro Bowl player, a guy who's made that leap and is regarded amongst the best free safeties in the NFL. So we will give him the breakthrough performance of the year. So far we're heavy in the secondary. Joe Hayden, best player, breakthrough performance, Tashaun Gibson, which brings us to our next Browns Daily ESPY category, the best individual play from 2014, Kevin Jones.
Let's go back to week two, Saints-Browns. It's very early in the game, very early. Paul Kruger sacks Drew Brees, fumbled, Browns score a touchdown. You look at that game, if the Browns end up losing that game, they probably start 0-3 with another loss to the Ravens. You start 0-3, you really start questioning yourself. Who knows how many games the Browns win that year? Paul Kruger changed the season early on. The dog pound was fantastic that week, getting loud. That, to me, was the best play that happened for the Browns last season.
AJG agrees with you. Aaron Gooley, he agrees with you.
I thought that was kind of a deep cut. I didn't think that was an obvious choice.
I thought it was way down, yes.
Yeah, I went with the Joe Hayden deflection to Dante Whitner interception against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You're incorporating both of these guys in the secondary. It was a great play by Hayden just to make the tip, and then Whitner takes it almost to the end zone, very close. But it's just a great play.
And that one got nominated by somebody as well. I'm trying to see if I can find it very quickly, but that was one on Twitter that got a nomination as well, the Hayden tip to Dante Whitner. When I find it, I will bring that up. Go ahead, Gibbs.
G.I. George took mine. Best play, Joel Bitonio chasing down Devin Hester.
Wow.
In Atlanta, right before halftime, we all looked at each other. The Browns weren't playing well in that game, but they were playing well enough to have the lead. And, you know, they decide to kick the ball, and Hester takes it, and you're like, there's no way. And then all of a sudden, you're like, oh, God, here we go. There we
go. Oh, God.
And out of nowhere comes the graceful gazelle that is Joel Bitonio. and Betonio tackling him before halftime, saving the lead, and ultimately, I think, saving the game and giving this team enough momentum to win.
That certainly is a very, very strong one, and I'm sure it's one play that comes back to Mike Pettine immediately whenever. Oh, by the way, it's Brandon Leaster who said the Hayden Tip interception to Whitner may be the best play. A lot of nominees for the Joel Bitonio one. Also, a lot of nominees for the pass to Andrew Hawkins that set up the game-winning field goal against New Orleans.
That was a weird play because it was kind of a bad throw from Hoyer, and then Hawkins slipped a little.
And caught it falling to the ground right in front of me, and it seemed like it happened in slow motion. Also, the Travis Benjamin touchdown in the back of the end zone, capping off the largest comeback, road comeback in NFL history against the Titans. That got a nomination. I'm going with a play that I'm not even sure that, well, I am sure. It didn't even count, and it didn't even happen, really. And that was against the Carolina Panthers. Billy Wynn's brilliant interception, rollover, and perfectly legal handoff for a touchdown was a genius play. First of all, it was a great play. He never gave up on the play. He tracked the ball down, made a great catch, had the wherewithal, the presence, the fortitude, the chutzpah to turn over, hand the ball off for a touchdown for the Browns. It should have been a touchdown for the Browns, and that one didn't even get to count, and it was a travesty.
Who did he hand the ball off to?
I believe it was a Craig.
It was Craig Robertson. Yeah, it was. Buck Wild, Billy Wynn.
That would have been a game change. I mean,
it was a game. Would have won the game for the Browns.
Yeah.
And apparently he had to let go. He couldn't hand the ball off while he was on. I don't know what they were trying to say about the rule, but whatever it was hogwash.
By the way, that was his second career interception.
Yes, it was. His first coming, I believe, against the Steelers.
Big Ben.
Ago. Yes. Billy now, Wynn. I also like Crow's cutback touchdown run against the Falcons. That was a personal favorite of mine. Also in that Carolina Panthers game, do you remember Hoyer threw the interception and then Travis Benjamin tracked the guy all the way down, knocked it out? That was another great play.
Buccaneers game. Remember Terrence West block on that touchdown pass to Taylor
Gabriel?
Terrence West really set that play up.
Tank Carter's punt block against Tennessee to change the momentum in that game and give the Browns an opportunity to come back.
It's a lot.
There are a lot of good plays.
And I was talking earlier today with our social media guy, Kyle, and it's – every Joe Hayden interception could be in the conversation. Like they were all acrobatic. It seemed like they were all kind of special plays at big moments in games. You could have named any one of those Hayden interceptions.
We also got from Browns Updated Johnny Manziel's catch on the trick play as the best play of the year for the Browns. And Dog Pound says, "How's about the Manziel catch?" A second one for that.
That's the direction I thought you were going when you said it didn't count.
Hey, remember Mike Pettine designed that play call.
He did.
He's more involved in the offense this year.
Maybe we'll see more of that. Hopefully we can do it in a proper fashion and not get flagged.
Well, remember, the flag was for illegal motion.
It was.
The refs weren't going to call that.
It was too quick. The snap happened too quickly. The timing was off.
What are you going to do?
Absolutely nothing. All right, your Browns Daily SB winner for best play of the year. We got to go with Gribbs, Joel Bitonio, galloping down the field and taking down Devin Hester, saving a touchdown, saving the game. For the Browns, that would have been the ultimate kick in the gut. That was a great one. The Billy Wynn play, I feel like, should get more acclaim than it gets. That's why I tried to bring
it. Just when it doesn't count, people just kind of forget it happens. We all struggled to remember who even handed that ball off to.
Yes. By the way, franchise tag updates the Cowboys and Dez Bryant making progress on a deal. And the Patriots and Steven Gostkowski have now signed a 4-year, $17.2 million deal to beat the franchise deadline. So that one is done as well. All right, fourth category here, best game of the year for the Cleveland Browns. I think there are three easy nominations, and we'll see how it plans out. Go ahead, KJ.
For me, it was Tennessee, and when Mike Pettine says there's no drug that can give you this feeling, he's talking about the Tennessee game, 25 points down. I mean, it was embarrassing. The Browns were getting their butts kicked. They rallied. They came together at halftime. Being down on the field for the last little moments there, I've never seen jubilation like that from a coaching staff, from players, the hugging. Winning was a feeling that week. You really felt it in your shoulders. It was just, let's play football right now.
Let's do it.
See, I like that one. I mean, it's in the Hall of Fame. I mean, that was a huge game, but I guess I'm going with the deep cut. I'm going with the Falcons game. The way that game unfolded, as someone who's watched the Browns for a lot of years, that is a game the old Browns would have lost.
Big play, Garrett Barnage, who didn't get any nominations for the play. He had the catch to set up the game winner there and the catch on fourth down to keep it going against New Orleans.
Just the way that that game was unfolding, you're like, oh, no, this is just like Gibbs is feeling with the Bitonio play. It's like, oh, no, this is going to happen. But, you know, that drive at the end, I mean, that was one of the last big highlights of the season.
I blacked out when that
Hoyer threw three picks that game.
I mean, not a game you enjoy as a fan watching because it gives you a heart attack, but, you know, as fans, you want to see your team blow out the other one every single week. But that was probably the most, I would say, the most exciting one of the season.
I had a couple, and then I crossed them all off. I had New Orleans down. I crossed it off. I had the Bengals in that Thursday night shellacking. I crossed that off. At the end of the day, when you can beat the Pittsburgh Steelers the way that we beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, there is nothing finer. And, I mean, it was a good old butt-kicking.
Should have been 31-3. They got that late touchdown.
Exactly. I mean, they just throttled that football team.
Dominated.
And it was awesome to watch, and it was great that it was at home in front of our fans. They lost their minds for the game. We were having a blast in the booth. It was fun. It was a fun Sunday. And we had a few of those. We didn't have a lot of them, but that was one that, to me, anytime you can beat your rival and beat them the way that we beat them, I'll put that as my number one.
I'm going to go with the Cincinnati win in prime time, Thursday night football, going to Cincinnati, dominate them. I believe then that put us in a tie for first in the AFC North after that, 6-4. It was just a butt-kicking, and what I remember most about that game is that the crowd was gone, all the Browns fans moved down to the bottom of the jungle, and it was a party there. It was crazy.
It was like a Browns home game. That's what it felt like.
At the very absolutely. And it was just a lot of fun, a dominant, decisive win. The only reason I don't go with Tennessee games because the first half of it was absolutely miserable,
was
and being
horrible.
On the sideline, I wanted to kill myself. I was hungover. The sun was out. We were getting destroyed. It was miserable. And half of that game was miserable. Half of it was great, and thank goodness they won, but it was miserable. The first half of that game was worse than the whole Jacksonville game. And then the Pittsburgh game, I love that one too, but you lose Alex Mack in that game. And I'm pretty sure you lost Armani Bryant in that game as well. So too many casualties. Nothing bad happened down in Cincinnati. It was a great road trip. It was a great win. And I thought it was dominant. And unfortunately, the momentum couldn't keep going. All right, without exposition, quickly. Play like a Heart, play like a Brown winner. No exposition, just give a name.
Man, Gary Barnage.
Big play, Gare. Gribbs.
Carlos Dansby.
Gibbs.
I would say Carlos Dansby as well.
I'm going to say an interesting one. Barkevious Mingo played the whole year with one arm, and I really want to see what he can do with two arms this year, and I really hope he's our breakthrough player next year. By the way, we've been told Billy Winn gave the interception to Jordan Poyer on that play against Carolina to correct ourselves, so okay. Sorry. Nonetheless, it should be nominated. Should have been play of the year. There it is. All right. That'll do it for the Browns Daily SB Cincinnati Wins Game of the Year, and we'll give the Hart Award to everybody nominated just because they got nominated. It's a beautiful award. When we come back, Andrew Mason will be with us talking Denver Broncos. He'll give us the latest on the Demaryius Thomas franchise tag negotiations, what's going on with that team this offseason, what to look for when they come and play the Browns on week number 6 here in Cleveland, the Peyton Manning farewell tour. Perhaps Andrew Mason from DenverBroncos.com is with us next.